This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
To take your calls on whether it is cool or not cool to yell at jaywalkers outside your car window.
Man, we've been holding on to this for a minute, and now there's a bit of an update because the other half of the party is speaking out. Bill Maher finally responding to Steve-O, who said on a recent episode of the Wild Ride podcast that he had to turn down a request to appear on Bill Maher's Club Random podcast because Maher refused to not smoke weed. I have the audio of Steve-O sharing this story with a guest on his podcast.
That I protect than my recovery. And I found it kind of upsetting when the Bill Maher podcast, which I saw you on, reached out, and they you know, his thing is he smokes pot the whole time while he interviews people, and I said, hey, I'd happily go on there, but could he, while I'm on, out of respect for my sobriety, could he refrain from smoking
pot?
He said no, that's a deal breaker.
Wow.
And Mike Tyson's podcast is called Hotboxing. Like the whole point, like, be real, all of these prolific potheads, I've been on their shows, and it wasn't so important to them to blow marijuana smoke in my face.
I did not know that.
For Bill Maher, it was a deal breaker. And I found, and maybe that's why, you know.
Very, very interesting. Bill Maher pretty much coming out now and doubling down. He's not trying to cover his ass in any form or fashion. He's really doubling down and said, yeah, I told him to that it wasn't going to happen. Is it okay or not okay to refuse to not smoke weed if an addict asks you, whether it be on a podcast or in any other form of life?
Oh, man. It's interesting because, like, on one hand, that it's not just, like, it's part of Bill Maher's thing.
Yeah.
But then, like, what are you really saying to someone if you can't respect their sobriety journey enough just not to smoke weed for an hour?
I love when we do topics and have conversations that I really don't know in the beginning how I actually feel.
Right.
Because my first gut reaction is, Steve-O, come on, dude. Like you for decades were the guy who stuck things up your butt and did god-awful things to your body, and you partied harder than anybody else on earth.
Yep.
Here you are 16 years in, Bill Maher smoking a joint during a conversation is going to be a breaking point for you. It seems a little dramatic.
It does.
That being said, I think when you are the type of addict that Steve-O is and was, it is that fragile. And I think you probably shouldn't put yourself in situations. So as anticlimactic as it is, I appreciate Bill Maher's right to say, hey, I smoke weed and it's going to happen and it's not going to work. And I appreciate Steve-O saying, well, then I'm not going to be there. So both of them are very steadfast in their beliefs. It's a little bit of a dick move on Bill Maher's part.
Yeah.
Like, you're putting your foot down for something that really is fairly non-consequential. Like, if he's smoking a joint or not, is the interview going to be worse? Is it not going to be as good? Like, what are you giving up by not smoking a joint? It sounds like he wants to prove a point that he's not going to cater to anybody more than actually, you know, he has to have his weed.
And on the other side, you're right in everything you just said, but on the other side of it, what is Steve-O really saying about his sobriety if he can't sit in a room with someone who's smoking a joint while having a conversation?
But to counter that, I would say the honesty of someone who clearly, I mean, this dude was doing drugs that none of us can even fathom. I mean, when you look, it's hard to think that it's 16 years already, because when you think back to those days when everybody just thought Steve-O was going to die, and some of those videos that you would see coming out of hotel rooms where he's on all these different drugs and completely incoherent.
Yeah.
I think that you have to draw a line with your sobriety, and some things probably are not worth the risk. Like, is the juice worth the squeeze? I'm going to go in and have weed smoke blown in my face, right, make me feel some sort of way. For what? For a Bill Maher podcast that isn't going to affect my bottom line or my popularity in any way. So I respect him being strong enough to say, that's not for me. I'm not going to take that risk. And he knows how fragile he is, and maybe that's him admitting that.
And on the other side of it again, because I'm just like you, I don't really know where I stand. Can't Bill Maher just go this one time out of respect to you being, what, 16 years sober? We'll do an interview and I'm not going to smoke a joint. I'm just not going to smoke a joint for an hour and we can have a conversation.
Yeah, so, and he said, I already have a show. It's called Real Time. This is Bill Maher. It's on HBO, and it's very much not pot.
Okay.
This is different. This is just shooting the S, and this is how I shoot the S. In an attempt to get conversation as real as it ever is, just like if we were doing this and I don't see anything that we've said that I wouldn't have just said to you if there were no cameras here. A little wordy. Mm. And you even know where the cameras are. Okay, let's remember that. I have no feud with any of these jackass guys. I watched all the movies. They are funny.
727-579-1025. Drew Gabel live with John Senning. Who are you?
My name's Jeff out of Bradenton.
Hey, Jeff in Bradenton. What's going on?
Same old, same old. Let me tell you what, man. I yell at people in crossing outside of crosswalks constantly, and I don't care. I run pool routes through Longboat Key, Anna Maria, and St. Armand Circle.
Yeah.
And in St. Armand, I'll pull up when they're in the middle of that circle and they look like they're wanting to cross. I'll pull up and stop, asking if they're trying to cross. They say, yeah, I said crosswalks over there.
You guys should.
You're going to get shot.
No, this is not my guy.
No.
You guys should start like a Facebook group.
No way.
Where all of you people that yell at
you
those
people.
All of you people that yell at those crossing in the crosswalk, like get together so you know like the areas of town that are hotbeds. If you really want to get out, like somebody can tell you, hey, over on this road today, I've noticed a high frequency of people crossing out of the crosswalks. It's a real hotbed, you know, to work it out.
Yeah, I don't spend a lot of time south of the Skyway, or I would, John. 727-579-1025. Not my guy.
That's like Moe's friend. Did you hear him say it and realize that it sounded like a not cool opinion?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drew Gabel live with John Senning.
Bless you. God bless
you. Thank you. Who are you? Hello?
This is Derek from Venice. How are you, man?
Hey, what's up, Derek?
Hey, I'm going to start with you, Drew. I've worked in the industry for many, many years, and it's incredibly frustrating to try and get the pedestrians to just to do the right thing.
Sure.
Just to be safe. Yeah. I mean, that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, you what you did was kind of like a PSA. You're trying to give them a little education.
Exactly.
And say, hey, You're not doing the right thing.
But sir, and maybe if they're just bothered by the act of yelling, that's one thing.
Right.
Which clearly some people like Mary are. But it's just, do you think there's a chance in hell that this morbidly obese, homeless-looking woman didn't know until the moment Drew yelled at her that there was a crosswalk 10 feet away? You don't think she'd been crossing outside of crosswalks her whole life? You think that yelling at somebody, you're going to be the difference?
Well, do you think talking to someone is going to get the point across?
I guess that would be my question. No, I don't think anything is.
I don't think there's any hope. It's a defeatist mentality, but if you see a grown-ass adult crossing 10 feet from the crosswalk, like they weren't just lucky enough to go their whole life without hearing about crosswalks.
No, they
like,
know about it.
And it's just, I imagine it's probably just laziness. Like it's just, or just lack of care or lack of zeal for life.
Yeah, maybe a defiance, like, you're not going to tell me where I'm going to cross. I'm going to put my life at risk. Hello, Drew Gabel, do you say anything if there's a dog? Because I've seen people jaywalking with dogs.
I was going to say to you, what if that bag she had was full of cats?
Oh man, I would have taken the cats from her. Hello.
What's going on, boys? It's Cushman.
What's up, Cushman?
Hey, Cushman.
Dude, John Senning, dude. Love to have you back. We Hate Mary over here. I'm starting the We Hate Mary fan club.
Hell yeah,
man. You did start it yesterday.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I think it you know, it's with the Steve-O thing, you know, it's kind of weird because he's very proud of his sobriety and everything.
Sure.
So I feel like if he would have known that what's his name had a different podcast where he didn't smoke, that was, you know, I don't know why he.
Well, it's not a podcast. Bill Maher's show is on HBO. That's the non-pot one. It's like an official TV show.
Steve-O might not be invited to that one.
Yeah, no, I don't. Yeah. I wouldn't think you'd have Steve-O on that one.
Yeah, it's, you know, addicts are just tough, but great show today, guys. We hate Mary, you know.
Thank you. That's all I can ask for. I appreciate it.
Cushman does have a strong anti-Mary agenda. You know, I stand with him.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Mary, we can make peace.
Yeah, call
peace,
in.
Peace is available.
Yep.
You didn't hear from Colin yesterday either, did you?
Certainly not.
Dude, that one hurts, man.
I know. Drew Gobble live with John Senning.
Hi, Drew. Hi, John.
Oh, hello,
Carmen.
She also had an anti-Mary agenda.
I hope
yesterday.
Your procedure went well.
Thank you.
She said you had a procedure to fix your vocal cords to stop yelling so much.
So this is a callback for anybody who was listening at the end of the show. Well, not everybody figured this out if you didn't listen to Mo. The man who called as fake John Senning was attorney Patrick Smith, which really makes you take a look in the mirror because he clearly worked on I found out you missed this part. I don't know if he said it on the air.
He
had been working on that.
Yeah.
So this was pre-Mary. You know, so there's even the people that I care about and appreciate in this life have some sort of feelings about my tone and the way I speak. So
it was amazing.
Shout out to Patrick Smith.
What an impression. Like really the fake was. John Senning.
I think it's perfect.
Amazing.
Did you hear the joke? Because I felt like you would appreciate it, where he said, can you imagine if you're at a party and everybody's singing along to A Little Bit Softer Now?
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was a good line. Hell of a comedic mind that you got there,
yep.
Patrick Smith.
Wasting his talents as a lawyer.
Yeah.
Yes, Carmen.
Sweet Carmen.
As much as I adore you and John, I have to call you out, Drew.
What happened?
Wait, is this the same man speaking who yelled at somebody out of the crosswalk that was keep your eye on your own paper and stay in your lane? Mm.
I stayed in my lane.
I stayed in my lane while
I yelled at this woman.
These are quotes from Drew Garabo.
I was in my lane.
Don't help people that are drowning.
That's actually a great point.
I will not help people who are drowning. I'm just trying to make the world safer, John. That's all.
I don't want to question your intent, but I don't know if that's the case.
Drew Gobble live with John Senning. I don't know if it is either.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What up?
Hey, so I'm calling about the Steve-O thing. And,
yeah.
So I guess I'm going to sound like an old man here. I'm not trying to, but, you know, if Steve, if he tells him that he's not, you know, he's going to continue to smoke weed, I just think I wish we were back in the time with inside baseball where you didn't really know these disagreements between things and you were kind of left in the dark. Like everybody oversharing all the time just seems a bit much. I mean, he could have just, you know, told him no, he wasn't going to do it, and Steve went about his day.
I get you, but I kind of like the transparency. Like, I'd rather know why Steve-O isn't going to do the Bill Maher podcast instead of you just hear, you know, we tried to work something out and it didn't happen.
But you wouldn't even know that.
Right.
Like, you wouldn't even know that he was going to do the Steve-O podcast.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
Are there people out there clamoring, big Bill Maher fans, waiting for the day that Steve-O shows up on the podcast without knowing that he turned it down?
No. He's like, you've done Knoxville, you've done Chris Pontius, you know, when are you going to have Steve-O on? No, you're probably right. But I kind of like the transparency, but I also see your point, my man.
Well, and everybody's got a damn podcast. They got to talk about something.
Thank you.
So there was more. That Steve-O guy was taking shots at me in the press recently.
Oh.
It was unfortunate. I don't want to start a feud, and I'm sorry that he felt slighted or something, but it's ridiculous that somebody thinks that I should give up pot smoking because they have a problem, that I'm sorry you can't be here.
I mean, he doesn't want you to give up pot smoking. He wants you to refrain for like an hour while you record the episode.
So this is famous people, and this is a podcast, and this is an appearance.
Yeah.
How would you feel if it was somebody actually in your life? Like, let's just say, I mean, I can't use myself, but let's say that it's somebody who's a friend, somebody you haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah.
And you're going to be spending a weekend together somewhere.
A weekend.
And they say, or a night.
Okay.
A night, maybe just a night over somewhere.
All right.
And they said, hey, man, I hate to say this to you, but you know I've been clean for a while now. I know you smoke weed. Like it's hard for me to be around people smoking weed. Could you just keep it away from me for the weekend?
Full disclosure, if that person means anything to me, and I don't mean everything, I just mean anything. If that person means anything to me, then absolutely I would do it.
Yeah, and I think that's what most people would do. Whether it's booze, whether it's alcohol, whatever the vice, might be, I think that if you care about the person at all, you want them to stay sober, and you could do that for a period of time.
Yeah, because like when I've gone through a couple of stages in my life where for years I've given up booze, and I will tell you, you find out your friends who really want you to do well, because when you're around them, they're not going, come on, just have a drink, man.
Yeah.
Come on, dude.
Yeah, you're not wrong. That is a sleeper, like, social construct that I don't think is properly recognized. Where if you're just somebody who's lived a normal life around people who drink and stuff, you're like a leper when you're the one person who does it. Everybody wants to know what's wrong with you.
Yeah.
Like, something must be wrong with you if you're not drinking. Yep. And it doesn't always have to be addiction. It could just be not wanting to drink or deciding not to drink, and people think you must be dying or something.
Yeah, and like they feel so self-conscious about their own drinking that they want to make you drink too, which is insane.
You know what? It is tougher to party if you got some fuddy-duddy around you. It's like, hey, I'm not drinking.
Oh, it's a drag.
Yeah,
pussies. Yeah. Drew Grubb live with John Senning. Who are you?
I just push him up.
I'm Lamar.
Hi, Lamar.
Hey, listen, it's perfectly acceptable if somebody walks out of the crosswalk holding a joint while I have a lottery ticket in my hand. It's perfectly okay to yell at them, all right?
Thank you.
That is the trifecta. You touched them all. Good work.
Appreciate you.
That's all three benchmarks in one call.
That's not bad. Drew Grubb live with John Senning. Who are you?
My name's Amber. How are you guys doing today?
Amber, very well. Thank you. How's your day so far?
Not too bad. Just calling about Steve-O and Bill Maher and the situation. Because at the end of the day, I think that they both made the right call because people are talking about it. It's getting their name in the headlines.
That's a good point.
Steve-O has decided to take a stand on this, and he's getting his name out there. Bill Maher's like, no, if I let him on my podcast, are people really even going to be talking about this right now? So
what if,
maybe a little bit of a publicity situation.
What if, Amber, what if they've already figured this out behind the scenes that Steve-O's going to do the podcast, but they wanted to create a little fake beef, a little cheap heat beforehand, so they go through this whole, oh, you know, he wouldn't do this, and they create publicity for it. Then when he sits down, they got more ears on the product because people are like, oh, my God, they worked out their differences.
Nail on the head. That's what I'm thinking. That's the situation.
Yeah. Very, very interesting.
What is Bill Maher promoting? Because he's everywhere. He's doing everything as of late. Is it a book? Is it the podcast? What the hell is it?
Didn't he do, like, his last stand-up comedy special or something?
I don't see it being promoted. Maybe it's still to come.
I think he did his final one, and maybe that's what he's promoting. I don't know, but he's on The View, for crying out loud.
And he did Fox News last night.
Yeah.
Talk
about the two ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, he really did with Greg Gutfeld.
Gutfeld to the Yentas on The View.
I got to say, though, to me, being even in a space where you talk politics and you can do both, I think you're probably in the sweet spot.
Yeah.
Like he's pushed himself and he's pissed off a lot of people on the left, but I think it's just because he's been honest. I think he has opinions that are uncomfortable for everybody, and that normally means you can kind of fit in with everybody.
For sure. Thank you, Amber. Great call.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Bye. Drew Grubb live with John Senning.
I think it's a book.
Oh. Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi, dude.
Hey. Hi. I think it's perfectly okay to yell at someone outside the crosswalk.
Cool.
One thing that's really sad is I go up and down Bush Boulevard all the time.
The worst. Like the worst road for crosswalks. Worse than Fletcher, worse than Fowler, even worse than 4th Street.
Yeah, the one thing I don't understand is several years ago, a couple people got killed right in that area, and everyone was up in arms, all residents, like, there's going to be a crosswalk. We need to put a crosswalk there. Mm. They said, okay, we'll invest money. We'll put a crosswalk there. And now no one uses it anyways.
You're right.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
You're right, pal.
Yeah,
Thank you.
There's something, man, how do I draw this connection without it sounding insane?
Oh, yeah.
I was going to draw some sort of connection to, like, the murder problem that we have in this country, because everybody wants to try and pinpoint a reason for it, and I think it's a people problem. Like, I don't think that the guns or this or that or making more crosswalks helps. I think there is something wrong with getting people to do the right thing. Well, there's something wrong with these people to where they're never going to do the right thing.
Yeah.
I think making a million crosswalks doesn't make people walk in the crosswalk. Like, there is something in people. They either want to buck the rules or they just don't care enough or whatever it may be. I don't think that there is a fix to it, because I think the problem is the people.
You're absolutely right. build all the crosswalks you want. Until you build better people that want to cross in them, you're going to still have this problem.
Well, and I think it's crazy because in even a crazier connection to the gun problem, I think it's a mental health and drug problem. I think a lot of these people out on the streets just running across six-lane roads outside of the crosswalk are looking for drugs, high on drugs,
yeah,
without home, or going through some sort of mental breakdown.
Yeah, and maybe subconsciously they want a car to hit them and put them out of their misery.
You may be right.
They call it suicide by jaywalking.
You may be right.
Drew Graba live with John Senning. Who are you?
I'm Cynthia.
Hey, Cynthia. What do you think? Okay or not okay?
I got two things. Well, you got to treat everybody out there walking like children. You never know when they're going to run out in front of you. They have no mind of their own. They just run out and do what they wish, or like an animal. So always treat all people like children. Okay.
And sometimes you got to yell at them, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes, yeah, you stop, watch them go by, no doubt.
Sure. What else you got?
And with Steve-O, if I have a food addiction and he wants to sit there and, like, chew hamburgers, is that going to bother me? You can't.
Is it?
You know? I got a food addiction. Okay, well, see?
The one thing we haven't exactly touched on is that, you know, I feels like it's close quarters. They're sitting next to each other.
Yeah.
I think the possibility of Steve-O getting a contact high is very, very real.
True.
So, I mean, to be breathing in, like, I don't know if you're going to get secondhand, you know, diabetes.
He's
from watching
that.
You eat your cheeseburgers.
You know, some people got to smoke cigarettes. I don't smoke cigarettes. You can smoke a cigarette in front of me, and I could care less. You
is
know?
This, may I ask you just a brief favor? Would you, and this is a bizarre request, would you mind crowing like a rooster for me?
Come on. I could go next door to my Cuban friends and find a chicken.
Dude, that was
close.
Is your real name Cynthia? Cynthia?
Or is it Lisa Cynthia?
I am Cynthia.
You're not Lisa the Rooster.
No, sir. I'm Cynthia from America's Best.
Have you ever lived in the woods down in Sarasota and tried to open up a 420 cafe in a tree?
No.
Where flying
hell
squirrels
no.
deliver cannabis?
I live in Pinellas County. I live in St. Petersburg.
All right.
We got our own Lisa up here.
Wow, you sound remarkable. We have a rooster lady that listens to the show and calls, and your voice is a spitting image, ma'am.
Drew, I called you once before, and I told you the story about being at a bar and being the designated drunk driver and being totally sober so that everybody got in their cars and left. And then when the police pulled me over, I was sober. You know, I couldn't find my key. I told you this story like, 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Talks about that all the time.
Yeah. By the way, Ryder ITV, before we even said anything, said Cynthia isn't Lisa the Rooster. What the hell?
I'm fairly certain that lady called sort of recently, and we thought the same thing.
Man. All right. If you want to hang in there, you can. We've got our 540 fun fact of the day. The greatest sequel in film history was released today.
I got something for you, too.
What you got?
Well, I'll tell you next.
Oh, okay. Achieva Credit Union's got some great things going on. Of course, there are so many differences between a bank and a credit union. At Achieva, good customer service, always number one. They're local but not limited. You're banking with people that you know, and they know the communities that you do business in because they live and work here too. Achieva provides services to 15 counties, from Hillsborough and Pinellas to Fort Myers. They've served the Tampa Bay area since 1937, and there's something really special going on.